Welcome to Live Daf, your online Daf Yomi Shir.
Shalom Aleichem, welcome back to today's Daf Yomi, which is Chagiga Daf Yud Tes. We are holding on Yud Ches Amud Beis, five lines from the bottom of the Amud. Tanu Rabbanan, we learned in a Braisa. Hanoytel Yadav, if one washes his hands, Nisgaven, if he had in mind that the Netilas Yadayim should produce Tahara on his hands, Yadav Tahiris, then it works. His hands become Tahar. But Loi Nisgaven, if he was not Nisgaven for a Tahara, just happened to wash his hands for no special reason, or did not have Tahara, his hands were dirty, but there was no Tahara that he had in mind, Yadav Tmeis, his hands remain Tamei. We treat them as unwashed hands. Same thing with being tevil your hands in a mikvah. Even tevil doesn't work unless there was a kavana involved. Nisgaven, if he had a mind to be Matara's hands in anticipation of touching something that must be kept at Tahara, in that case it works. Yodav Tahiris. But like Nisgaven, if he didn't have a mind to be Matara's hands, Yodav Tameis, they remain Tomei. Vatani will enter the Brisa, kavana is not a precondition. Bein Nisgaven, whether he had Kavana, Bein Loin Nisgaven, or without Kavana, Yad of Toiris, his hands become Toir. Amar of Nachman Lekasha, the answer is, depends what he's doing. Kan Lechulin, when it comes to interacting with Chulin, such as when we wash our hands before a meal, even without Kavana it works. Even if he didn't have in mind to be Matar his hands, it works. Kan Lemaser, but when it comes to anything beyond Chulin, going up the ladder, Maser Sheni, Truma, etc., then you need Kavana. You need to have focus, Kavana, purpose. The mind has to be involved. The point is to increase awareness, to make you cognizant of what you're about to do, which will allow you to safeguard, which will ensure that you will maintain the Tahara of those items. Umino Teimra, how do you know there's a difference between Chulin and the rest? Umino Teimra, the Chulin, Loibo Kavana. How do you know that when it comes to chulin, kavana is not necessary? That's not. We have a mission. Gal shenitlash. You have a wave which came flying out of the sea. Uboyer barm sa, which contained 40 sa, a pretty large wave, which is the sheer water of a mikvah. V'nafal ala adam ala kelim. It landed on a person who was tummy, on kelim which are tummy. Tahirin, they become tar because they got tefillah from a mikvah. Now let's analyze the price. Katani Adam, do me the Kalim. The Mishnah compares the story with the person to the Kalim. Ma Kalim de Lemechavni. Let's assume the Kli had no Kavana. Certainly he didn't have Kavana. And there was nobody there to be Mechavni. It was just a Kli sitting on the side of the ocean that got drenched with that water. Apparently Tefillah without Kavana works. Af Adam de Lemechavni. So similarly, when it comes to the oven, Adam, who had the same experience, it's without Kavana. Let's assume both cases parallel each other. It's pretty clear that you don't need Kavana for Tahara. He happened to be taking a walk on the side of the ocean, suddenly, boom, he's hit by a wave. It makes him tar. Chulin doesn't need Kavana. Oh, my, how do you know that's the case? Dilma b'yeshiv mitzapa. Perhaps he was sitting there anticipating the arrival of that wave. A masa yitalish agal. In the midst of a storm, and he's expecting a gal to come landing on him. So he had Kavana. Askina, that's what we're speaking. V'kelim. If so, in similar vein, when the mission speaks about a Kli that was drenched, it's also Dumi Dadan compared to the person. Ma'adam Devar Kavan, the second person was Mechavan. Av Kelim de Mechavanu. Same thing with the Kelim. Was somebody there paying attention? So perhaps these things also need Kavana. V'chitema, perhaps you'll ask, if that's the case, that he was anticipating the arrival of that wave, then what's the chiddush? Why would I think it's a problem? Why does the Mishnah have to even mention it? Perhaps I would think there's a concern here, and that's why the Mishnah wants to dispel that concern. We should be concerned. Concerned that perhaps next time he won't do a proper tefillah. He'll just be tefillah in some sort of gushing rush of water, which is not suitable for tefillah use. What's wrong with the chardalas? Let's go to Rashi, second line from the top. Chardalas sheshetefes v'yeredes imachim gavaya. Water rushing down a mountain. V'yesh bar bam, so it's not a spring, it's not a river. It's not sourced in the underground water source. It's just a puddle, it's just a gush, a flooding gush of water. And it happens to have a sheer mikvah. V'ateva b'loyos le'tefillah doesn't work. Mishum de'makim katafrasu. Makim zokif yoyser medai, because it's coming off the steep incline, which is too steep. In which case, the water there is not considered like one unit. It's not sitting in one place, which is a precondition for a mikvah. Umem sashabai einam b'makim echad. They're not all in one place. They're coming down the mountain. They're gushing down. They're just trickling down. They don't relate to each other. They're not sitting in one place. Utnan hanitzik v'katafrit enechibur. Katafrit is something that runs down an incline. It's not considered connected. Va'afim enekatafrit, says Rashi. Even if we're not speaking about coming off a steep incline, so the first concern doesn't apply, it still won't work. Nami ain't toivlin boy, because it's moving. V'she'en megishomim metarim derech schilasin, as opposed to a river, which can be metarim a person even while it's rushing, because that's a derech. That's the way a river flows. It just flows. So tefillah in a flowing river works. But when it comes to rainwater, it needs to have come to a standstill. It has to be in one makim. Achu nikvin derech achshburn. Achshburn literally means like a crack in the ground. Basically means it has to be stationary water. So it seems like the first chesaron, the case of the incline, is where it's just coming off a steep hill. In that case, it's not even considered, doesn't relate to one makim, it's just flying off. And the water, both sides of this stream, of this gush, don't relate to the makam because they just come flying off. But in the next case of Rashi, the next svara, that it's moving, mobile water, as opposed to stationary water, that's a chesaron in the water itself. So according to the first prat, the chesaron in the makam, it's not on one makam. The second aspect in Rashi is that the chesaron is mitzad on account of the fact that the water is moving. So there's something wrong with the actual water. It can't be moving along. That doesn't work for mikvah. The tiny b'teres kahanim, we learned in a brayse. Ima mayin mitar b'zeichen. Perhaps just like a well, a spring, can be mitar even when it's actually flowing. Af mikvah mitar b'zeichen. A mikvah can do the same. No, tamalem ach mayin ubur mikveh mayim yatar. So mikveh mayim, which means it has to be kavli v'aymed, gathered, has to come to a standstill. Hamayin is matar bezeichlin. Only a flowing stream can be matar while it's moving. V'hamikvah bashper. But a mikvah has to be stationary. In any case, back to the Gemara. So there's a chiddush here. Becoming drenched by a wave works. Perhaps we can be choshish that next time he'll use a water gushing down the mountain. And it's on the move. And that's a problem. So that's where Mishnah comes and tells us, no, in this case we're not choshish. Now chesh is going to lead to the other thing. Here it's different. It's a wave that comes landing straight on the floor. It's in place. It's not moving. It's not moving along. In which case it works. Inam, he says the Gemara. There's another reason for concern. And that's why the Mishnah has to tell you that it works. Inami nigzer rush not to keep him. Perhaps you should be concerned. That true, this time he used the Russian. Russian is the tip of the wave, meaning when it landed on the ground, and he got hit by that portion, right? So that works. Atu kipin, perhaps next time. Why, if we allow this, perhaps next time, he won't be so careful, he'll be toivel in the portion of that wave that's still suspended in the air. So the wave is sort of like a U, a circular, semi-circular shaped body of water, right? So it kind of lands on the floor, so the portion that lands relates to the floor. It's on the makam. It works like a mikveh. Mikveh can be just midair. It has to be on a makam. Right? You're going into the mikveh. You're related to the makam that's called a mikveh. You can't use the kipin. You can't be toivel in the elevated portion of that wave that's still suspended midair. Or according to some rishon, the gemara means kipin in the airspace inside the wave. So perhaps if we allow tefillah in the Russian, in the point that's hitting the ground, next time we'll use the kipin. Kamashmon, Mishnah tells us, no, there's no chashash. So that's the chiddush of the Mishnah. But perhaps when it comes to kavana, that's not what we're talking about. There was kavana, because kavana is necessary for chul. So you have no right in the Mishnah that it's not a necessary precondition. Umna temer d'loy matbilin bekipin. How do you know kipin is a concern? The sanya matbilin berushin, vein matbilin bekipin. You can be tovel in that portion of water that's actually in contact with the ground, but not in the portion of water that's still suspended in the air. Lefish ein matbilin ba'avri kentu tefillah mol the air. That's related to a makam. So bottom line is, we no longer have a raya. That our din, that chulin, does not require a kavana. Elam hadesnan, have another raya. Perush ha-naflu teich amas ha-mayim. This fruit tripped into a stream of water. Upa shat misha yodav tmeis. And a fellow whose hands are tamei extended his hands into that irrigation channel, v'notam, and took out, retrieved the pears. Yodav tahiris. His hands become tar, because the fact is, his hands were immersed in a mikvah. Upeiros enon b'chiyutam. So his hands are tar, whether it's a mikvah, whether it's just that he washed his hands. So that's taken care of. And the pears are also salvaged. The enon b'chiyutam, meaning they're not susceptible to tumah. They're not hukshil kabel tumah, which generally happens when fruit become wet. They become susceptible to tumah. But in this case, he didn't have a mind. He didn't have a mind that the fruit should become wet. So he had no intention of getting them wet. He had no benefit from them getting wet. And also, he didn't have any hanah from the water either. When he put his hands in, he didn't have kavana for tahara. So basically, we treat the fruit as though they never came into contact with water. Right? That's a precondition. Hukshel kabatum only works when the liquid, the presence of the liquid was beneficial to its owner. He had hanah from it. But in this case, it just fell into the water, put his hands and took him out. He doesn't have to reckon with the water. But let's say he put his hands in so that his hands can rinse off. So he's rinsing off his unclean hands. And that's how he went in to take out the fruit. Yod of Tahirus. So once again, his hands become tahir, even though he didn't have kavana to make them tahir. But as we said, that's automatic. Once his hands get rinsed, they become tar. You don't need kavana for chulun. But this time, the peris are affected. Va'peris harein b'chiyutam. We treat it as though proper liquid landed on them b'chiyutam. If it's lashna pasuk, the chiyutam mayim, if there's water that came into contact with the fruit now is ro'i l'kavol tumah. And the reason is because he enjoyed the water. He had hanah. He had benefit from that water. He rinsed his hands in that water. Explain some mefarshim, and based on halacha and mishnah and machshirin, when there's hanah, when there's ratzon, when there's will, kol mashka shetchilase l'ratzon, any mashka which is here willingly, even if the actual contact with the fruit was unwilling, unplanned, the fact is he gave chashivas, he gave significance, he was machshav that water. Look, I used it for my own personal purpose. I washed my hands. That gives it chashivas, and now it has the ability to be machshu the fruit l'kavotum. Okay, so what pertains to us is as follows. We had amasamayim, with fruit inside. He put his hands in just to get the fruit out, or to rinse off his dirty hands. Suddenly we say, yadav tahiris. They're treated as though they were properly washed. His hands are no longer tame. What happened to the kavana? He had no kavana to become tahir, apparently. You don't need kavana by nitzil sedaim or tefila sedaim for chulun. Eis for Rav Lor Nachum. We have a Mishnah. Hatoi veil lechulun v'uchsak lechulun. If one did tefila, he went into a mikvah to prepare himself for interaction with chulun. V'uchsak lechulun. He had that kavana as well. So he applied himself mentally as well. He was mechamim for that. Asur l'maser. It only works for chulun. But that tefillah cannot be applied for maser. That's on the next level. As we explained yesterday, every level has its own standards, its own requirements. These are malas drabonon, to keep you aware and cognizant of these various levels of tahara, which are indicative of the various sensitivities, and the fact that each one is more delicate than the other. So each one has its own guidelines, its own requirements. So if you address the chulin, it's not going to take care of the maser. So he was tevil for chulin, v'huchsik l'chulin. He can interact with chulin, but he can't interact with mas, asul mas. Let's make a deal. Why does he need to be huchsak l'chulin? Huchsak means he had kavana to become tar for chulin. Huchsak in. Lo yichsak loy, but otherwise it doesn't work. Even for chulin you need kavan. Hachikamer, no, the mission is like this. Ava b'shuchsak l'chulin. Asa l'masa. Truthfully speaking, you don't need Huchzak, you don't need Kavanah for Chulin. Chiddush is, even if this fellow so happened to have Kavanah for Chulin, it doesn't work for Masa. Ace, here comes another kash. Tava v'loi Huchzak. Mishnah says, if he did tefillah without Kavanah, kidu loi tava, it's as though he never entered the mikvah. Mailah, should we not assume kidu loi tava klal? It's as though he never entered the mikvah pertaining to anything. Doesn't even work for chulin. Loi kilu loi tava l'masa. It doesn't work for masa because masa needs kavanah. Our tava l'chulin, when it comes to chulin, the physical masa tefillah is enough. You don't have to apply yourself mentally. Who saw v'dachikam matchli? So he thought he was just pushing him away. His terrorists were just pushing him away, but it's not really substantiated. But he went out and he checked. So Rabbi went out and checked, and he found the brisa, which supports this concept. Nafak, he went out, dok va'ashkach, he analyzed, and he found the sanya. Brisa says, tovav lehuchzak, if one is tovav without being mindful of what he's doing, osol ha'maser, it doesn't work for maser shenim, but by chulin, lack of kavanah does not detract from his maser tefillah. That's the maskana. When it comes to chulin related tefillahs or netilahs, kavanah is not a requirement. As long as you remove that that tumah, you're good. When it comes to other things, masa, tumah, these things have more a kedusha, higher standard. Over there, you have to actually apply yourself, become aware. You have to be mindful of what you're doing, which will ensure proper caretaking of these items. Amar Belazar, Taval ve'olo. Suppose a person was tovel, and now he's out of the mikvah. Now, he had a mind to become tor, but didn't really designate his tefillah, didn't really apply it to anything in particular. He wanted to be tovel, to become tor. V'Allah, now he's out of the mikvah. Machzik atzmoy l'chamash yirtze. He can now apply his tefillah. He can designate it for anything he wants. He can decide, look, now I'm going to interact with truma, or kodesh, or chatas. He can make that designation at this point, even after the tefillah. You can't do that after the tefillah. It's too late. Oideyu ragle achas b'mayim. While he still has one foot in the mikvah, he's still engaged in tefillah. So now he can designate, he can apply what he's doing. Huchzak l'davar kal. So even if he had in mind to engage in a lighter item in chulin, let's say. Machzik atzmo davar chomer, he can upgrade it. He says, look, no, I'm still in the tefillah. I want to change that designation. I want to use it for kachem. Because he's still during the tefillah. Allah, once he left the mikvah, it's too late. It's over. Shibani machzik. He can no longer designate or direct or apply his tefillah to anything. It's over. That's a kasha. Rabbi Lazar says, even after tefillah, one may do so. My love, should we not assume literally, ain't a machzik klal, you can't do anything at this point. Loi, that's not what the Bryson meant. Rather as follows. Oideyu, while he's still interacting with the mikvah. Afa pishu huchzak. Even if he had one thing in mind, machzik, he can redesignate, he can upgrade, he can change it because he's still engaged in the tefillah. Allah, once he's done the tefillah, im loy huchzak machzik. He didn't have anything specific in mind. He wanted to be tur. He wanted to be matar himself, but didn't have anything specific in mind. Didn't have any specific purpose in mind. Such as truma, kachem, etc. He didn't have a huchzak. Machzak. Then he can designate it right now. Because it was sort of generic, was floating. It was not yet designated. He didn't have a huchzak, but once he designated it, for instance, designated for maser, and now he's out of the mikvah, it's too late. It's been labeled. It's been defined. It's been designated. He didn't have a machzak. He can't change it. He can't upgrade it. So bottom line is, if you're involved in the tefillah, your foot is still in the mikvah, then you could do what you want. You could upgrade, you could downgrade, because you're still being tovel. Once you've done the tefillah, I was speaking that you did a tefillah to become tor, but you didn't have anything specific in mind. You weren't thinking chulin, masa, or truma, just tahara. So in that case, it's undefined, and you can go ahead and define it right now. But if you had something in mind, and now you're ready after the tefillah, it's over. It's past. You can't just change it and tinker with it. Man tana oideu ragla achas b'mayim. Who is the tana that holds of this concept that one foot in the water is considered as though you're still surrounded by that water? Right? We treat you as though you're still in the mikveh because it's like the mikveh rises up to you. Because you're still wet, you're still connected to that mikveh. Omar Pedas Rabbi Shitas Rabbi Yehuda, who holds that this is considered a proper connection. This is not as we find the following mission. Mikvah shenimdad v'yesh bei arba'im sa. Mechuvanas. You measure the mikvah. There's exactly 40 sa. Exactly to the point. V'yordu shnayim v'yitavlu z'echazeh. Two people use the mikvah. Reuven and then Shimon. Harishan tar. First one's lucky. He got the full mikvah. He's tar. V'asheni tamid, the second fellow, that's too late. The first person has already drawn out some water, moisture on his body. Diminished the shir ha-mikvah. By the time the second fellow came in, there was no longer a shir. He's Torah. On Rabbi Yehuda, it depends. Im hoyu raglav shel rishon nagis b'mayim. His first fellow's feet are still touching the water. Af hasheni tor. In this case, we consider the water on his body as though it's still connected down to the mikvah. Rashi uses the term good achas. This is a term we use in mechitzes. We pull down, we extend, we stretch, and achas means to bring down. We view the water on his body as though it's down, still in the mikvah. And therefore the mikvah still contains the shir of Abarim Sa. So even Shimon, the second fellow, used the proper mikvah. Af hasheni tor. So apparently Rav Yehuda holds of this concept of connecting the water on the body to the water in the mikvah. And likewise, in the case that we had earlier, he left the mikvah and his foot still in the mikvah. We connect the water in the mikvah to him, and we treat him as though he's still in the mikvah, and he can go and redesignate what he did, as we explained earlier. So this follows Rabbi Yehuda's track. Amar Rav Nachman, Amar Rava Bar Avoh Machlekes. This whole discussion between Rabbi Yehuda, who holds of good achis by mikvah, and Rabbanon, who seem to disagree, that's only b'malas to Rabbanon. If one is being tovel to address a rabbinic concern, a tumah de Rabbanon, pertaining to the various standards and requirements relative to the kedusha of these items, as we learned yesterday, you have the truma, all these tumas derabbanon. Then you can apply the concept of good achas, connect the waters. Avo mitumah la tahara. The person's really tumah deraisa, is trying to remove that tumah. Divrei hakol, hasheni tumah. You all agree. You don't connect waters. You don't say good achas, and the second fellow who came into an incomplete mikvah, tell me. Vayna derab das. This is fully in line with what we just said a minute ago. We were speaking about a case of a tumah derabbanan. Rabbi Lezer's case, tava va'olav machzik, speaking about tumah derabbanan. And because the whole concept of a muchzik and designation, that's a din derabbanan. And Rabbi Lezer tells us, when you're connected to that mikvah, we treat you as though you're still in the mikvah. And Rabbi Das tells us who is speaking. This is Rabbi Yehuda's Shita. Because when it comes to malas to Rabbanon, we apply this connectivity concept. So this fits with what we just said, that this whole machlokes between Rabbi and Rabbanon, meaning when Rabbi allows this connection thing to work, that's only by malas to Rabbanon. But by Deiraisa, it wouldn't work. Ikedarmi. There's another version. Amar Rav Nachman. This discussion between Rabbi and Rabbanon, whether this sort of connection works, this good achas works, that's even by deiraisis. Even when it's coming to remove a tumah deiraisa, then the Rabbanon don't allow it. Avol b'malas to Rabbanon, when it comes to addressing a tumah, the Rabbanon did not call af hasheni tor. We'll agree. The second fellow who was tevil in this incomplete mikvah is tor because of that first connection. But the first person is still sort of connected to the mikvah. So we apply the concept of good achis according to all shittas, if it's only a tumah derabbanan. Upliga derabdas. So this doesn't work with Rabdas, who tells us that even by a tumah derabbanan, the concept of connection of good achis is strictly Rabbi Yehuda's shita. No, all agree that by tumah derabbanan we apply it. Omar Ula, ba'i mineim Rabbi Yechanan. The Bnei Yeshiva asked a shayla from Rabbi Yechanan. So we just learned that according to Rabbi Yehuda, water that's on this fellow's body is viewed as though it's connected down to the mikvah. So perhaps that's only because it's downhill. Good achas, you're pulling it down to the water of the mikveh. What about pulling water upwards against gravity? Would that work according to Rabbi Yehuda? Rabbi Yehuda, ma'u lahatpil machten utzenarius. Can we be tevel a needle? Utzenarius is a little golden fork, some sort of tweezers that are tummy. Little items, b'roisha shalrishan. So a person's in the mikveh, comes out of the mikveh, and he's sort of still connected to the mikveh, his body's still touching, but he's really out of the mikveh, and his head is still wet. We put a needle in his head, in the hair of his head, and be tabled in that moisture. Can we view it as though it's still connected to the mikveh downstairs? So basically, in this case, you have to bring the mikveh upstairs. Right? For us to consider that needle as though it's in the mikveh, you have to bring the mikveh up. Here's not enough to bring the water down. When you try to complete the shear of the mikveh, so you say, okay, we'll bring the water down to the mikveh and complete the mikveh. But here, you put a needle in his hair, which is wet, and you want to deem it as though it's in the mikveh because you're bringing the mikveh up to his head. Does that work according to Rabbi Yehuda? It's already a stretch. And good achis, to pull it and bring it down, is little Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda agrees with that. But good achsik lesli. But perhaps to stretch it upwards, ge'asik means upwards, bring the mikveh up to the needle. Who says he agrees with that? Oidimo, perhaps you can say, both are true. Good asik, nam yisli. Even in this case, since the hair on his head is wet, so we consider it connected to the mikveh, we bring the mikveh up to the hair. There's a proper tefillah there. So which way is it? Amalei. Amalei. So Rabbi Yechon responds, Tanisu, I have a right that Rabbi Yehuda agrees with good asik as well. We have a case of Shalish Gamius ben Nachal. So Nachal Rashi says, just like a canyon, a ravine. So you have three pits, three holes. And they're on an incline. Right? So you have the upper, the middle, and the bottom. One, two, three. Hal yoyna v'tachtein v'emtzeis. Upper, middle, and bottom. And there's water contained in each one. Not enough for a mikveh. Hal yoyna v'tachtein. So number one and three, upper and lower. Shall esrim so contain only 20 so each. Not enough for a mikveh. V'emtzeis, the middle one, number two. Shall arbaim so has a full-fledged shir mikveh, 40 so. V'chardolos so gesham. V'yvaris b'nein, there's some sort of gush of water rushing between all three. We assume it's going with gravity, right? Starting from the top all the way to the bottom. So pretty much this puddle is not going to connect. All three pits are not connected. So can I be tevel in the upper pit by way of connection? Because it's connected to the lower one. So it's as though the lower one extends upwards to the upper one and gives it a sheer mikveh. Good asik. Yes, it works. Rabbi Da'imer. Meir hoya imer matu bel yayna. Meir means a meir. Would allow you to use the upper pit because the mikveh in the middle is deemed as though it's connected back to the upper one, and the upper one has a sheer mikveh. So apparently we applied this concept of connecting upwards, stretching upwards. Good asik. So here as well, when it comes to being tevel in one's hair, it would work because we bring the water of the mikveh up to the person who's still connected to that mikveh. But we have a brisa which seems to say that Rabbi Yehuda does not agree with this. Rabbi Yehuda Omer Meir Hoyimatu Vol Yoin. Meir would allow it. Vani Omer Betachtoina. I only allow in the bottom mikveh, Vol Yoin, not in the upper one, because the bottom pit connects very well to the middle pit because he's on a downslope. You're going with gravity. Good achis, but not in the upper one, which requires a good asik, bringing up. It's only Rabbi Meir. I don't agree with it. Amalei, so Rabbi Yechon responds. Amaluhu itanya tanya. Says you're right. You have a brisa, fine. I didn't realize that. Rabbi Yehuda disagreed. Let's go to Rashi on top here. He would allow you to use the upper pit. The amar good asik. Bring up the water from the middle one. Esmei amtsa isa lamala aide chardel sugisham. I'm using this water connection. Lahakshar sal yoni to allow the upper one for tefillah. So the upper one works, and certainly the bottom one, Vilkoshken matbilm tachtoina, certainly the bottom one, number three, works. The kiva and the isle good asik, because if you bring upwards, certainly you bring down. Koshken the isle good achas, you work with gravity, and you bring the middle mikveh down to the bottom pit, and it's machshirut. Rabbi the quotes from Meir, Umat Lake Tani Vani Chaylakalav, he doesn't say I disagree. It seems like Rabbi agrees with Rabbi, but they said no, the Brisa clearly indicates otherwise. I hold only the bottom of the bottle. We don't say good asik. I'm a polygale. I'm a Louis, Tanya, Tanya. Does the Brisa fine? I concede. A Tanya beheaded, the Cholk and Tanya, Venelach Achrea. The Chazer and Ibi will follow it, and I retract what I said. So, bottom line is, going to all Shitas, Rameh Rabbi Yehuda, good ach, as you say, you pull down. When it comes to good asik, that's Dafka Rabbi Meir and not Rabbi Yehuda. It would seem that according to the Rabbanon, you don't even say good achas. Well, we had a shaila where that's only by a tumah deraisa, so perhaps even by a tumah derabbanan, depending on the two lashonos in the Gemara. Hatayva lechulin vuchzak lechulin. So if one did tvila for chulin and had that in mind, it's not going to help him from maaser, because maaser is on a higher level. Money masnisim rabbanim. This seems to be shitas rabbanan that we had yesterday, based on a Mishnah Bikurim, that Maser is susceptible to even a Sheni Latum, even a Sheni Latum may not eat Maser. The Shani Lubin Chulna Maser, they consider Maser higher than Chulin. Ema Sefer, let's go on to the next part of the Mishnah, where we see that Chulin and Maser go hand in hand, on the same level. Big the Amoritz, Midrus Leprushin, the Begadim of Amoritz, who's not careful with Tumah, is deemed to be Tumah, relative to a Parish, who's careful with his Tumah. Big the Prushin, those that are Parish that are separated from Tumah, their begadim are carefully safeguarded, but still, it doesn't work for the next level. Midras Leich Letruma, those that engage in Truma, they treat the begadim of the Prushin as though they're Tame. Right? As we learned yesterday, based on Rashi, that your Shmira is worthless relative to the higher standard. Right? Every level requires its own Shmira. So the Shmira pertaining to a lower level is ineffective for the higher level. So the begadim of the Prushin, who certainly look after the begadim properly, is considered to be tamei for the eichle trum. Bottom lines, we see that there's no difference between chulin and maser. Truma is on the next level, but maser is not. And here we say that maser is higher than chulin. Asan Rav Meir. So this is Rav Meir speaking. The Amar chulin and maser kadadinu. We treat chulin and maser as though they're on the same level. Reish Rabbanon, the first part of the mission is the Rabbanon, who treats maser higher than truma. Then Chulin with Sefer Rabbeinu, and the second part is Rav Meir. And Chulin and Maser go hand in hand? Yes, in, yes. Reish Rabbanon, Sefer Rav Meir. The first part of the Mishnah reflects the Rabbanon, that Maser is considered higher. And the next part is Rav Meir. That Maser and Chulin go hand in hand. Rav Acha Ba'ada, he had a different pshat. Masn la b'sefer chamesh malas. He revised, he had a different gerson, the second part of the Mishnah. That over there as well, we have five levels. The begadim of the Eichli Chulin, to the begadim of the Echle Maser, to the Truma, and so on and so forth. So we have five levels. If the whole Mishnah works with the Rabbanon, then indeed there are five levels. Chulin, to Maser, to Truma, to Karbanos, to Chatas. Paradigma. Okay, so in conclusion we learned that Tvila for Chulin does not require Kavana. As long as he's physically in a mikvah, or he's washed his hands, that's okay. Whereas when it comes to the other items, such as Truma, etc., you need Kavana as well. It would seem from the Gemara that Maser also needs Kavana. Right? Chulin, Kanla Chulin, Kanla Maser. Maser also needs Kavana. So anything other than Chulin needs Kavana. One of the milas to Rabbanon is, you meant to be mindful of what you're doing. You need to have a certain designation applied to your tefila. So it was designated for a lower level interaction. It doesn't work for something higher. But Rav Lezer tells us a chinish. If he left it undesignated, he can now label it. He can now designate it for anything he wants. Now, of course, while he's still in the mikvah, he can do whatever he wants. He can revise it as well, as he wishes. We went on to the concept of good asik and good achas. So let's start with good achas, where he's trying to pull something down. So he has a foot in the water, and there's water all over his body. He wants to bring that water down to the mikvah to make the mikvah a sheer mikvah, which would allow the next person to use it. Then we have good asik. In some cases, you actually lift the water, bring it up against the flow of gravity. So do these things work? So So when it comes to good achas bringing down, Rabbi Yehuda says it works. Rabbanon say it doesn't. Some say this is only by deraisas, but the Rabbanon all agree. By din the Rabbanon, tumah the Rabbanon would work according to all shittas. That was one version of the Gemara. And regarding good asik, bringing up, the Gemara concluded that's only Rav Meir. And that pertains to two cases. We have those three pits, the middle one having a sheer mikvah. And you want to extend it, bring it back to the upper pit. That only works according to Rav Meir, who allows being matpil bel yoyna. And same thing when it comes to the question of being toivel machtim et senarius inside one person's wet hair. When that person has a foot in the mikvah, so you sort of have to bring the water up to the machtin. Again, that only works according to Rav Meir. And concluded, v'shitas Rabbanon, that Maser Sheni stands higher than Chul. Hatzlacha Rabbah to you, and all the best.